How many of you got at least one Christmas present? Raise your hand. I'm always looking for those questions that might get every hand in the place raised. I trust that some of you actually received things you wanted. I'm wearing Christmas gifts today from my sweet wife, Debbie. The jacket, the tie, the slacks, and I received others. I did well. And Debbie will tell you, when you see her, that I did well on the giving end also. Yes, she's very happy with me right now, and my world is good. Now, some of you probably got some things that next year you'll give to somebody else. Yeah, you may not even take them out of the wrapping, you know. You're just going to hold on to those, and that's all right, too. The greatest Christmas gifts are the ones Jesus gives. That's just the truth, I think. We might say, oh, the best gift, we did this the other day. Some of the family gathered into the radio station with myself and my son Will on KWTO AM at 10 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. We do Point of Blue. And they gathered in, and one of the things that we talked about, what's the best Christmas present you ever received? And it was interesting. But the best gifts at Christmas are the gifts Jesus gives. Now, I know very well, and I thought about this as I prepared for today, I could truthfully preach for weeks, literally, on the gifts that Jesus gives. But because I don't have that time today, I focus with you on John's Gospel, chapter 20. And so if you have your Bible, or you want to pull a pew Bible out, I love it when you have a Bible there with you. We often put the scripture on the screen, but I want you to become so very personally acquainted with the Bible, because I believe that God works supernaturally through that. I love it when you bring your Bible, or if you did not, you pick one up there in the pews. But we're in John chapter 20. Now let me set the context while you get there. John chapter 20 records the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John chapter 20 records the resurrection and the witnesses to that resurrection. Mary Magdalene and Peter and John. But when we get to verse 19, John gives us the testimony of the miraculous appearances of Jesus to his disciples. And that's where I want us to begin. So, John chapter 20, verse 19. Now remember, the subject of the day is Christmas gifts. The best Christmas gifts are the gifts Jesus gives. Verse 19. Then the same day, now that's the day of the resurrection. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for what? Fear. For fear, remember that word. For fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Verse 24, John 20. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after eight days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now I want to say again that the blessings and the gifts that comes to us through Jesus Christ are truly uncountable. They are infinite. I could stay and talk to you until we saw the face of Jesus and could not adequately explore all the gifts that He brings. For example, in 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31, Paul said, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, listen, wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Gifts from Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. These are gifts from Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Listen, I want you to understand, I cannot even begin to plumb the depths of His gifts. However, today we look at our text. We look at our text for three life-giving, life-changing gifts. Listen, the best Christmas gifts are the gifts Jesus gives. And they are truly for 365 days of every year of your life. So all we do is go back to John 20 and we look in verses 19 through 29 and answer the question, what are these best gifts that Jesus gives to His people, wants to give to you, wants to give to every person? And that's what we'll look at together. Now, Bible students, there was one word in the text that occurred three times, and that word is peace. Now, there may be others, but that word is peace. I want you to see it again. You go back to verse number 19. When Jesus came, the very first word He said, peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. You turn on to verse 21. Jesus said to them again, peace to you. You go down to verse 26. Now it's a week later. He's come back, I think, because He loves Thomas so much that He's going to give him that opportunity. And His first words again were these words, peace to you. Listen to me. How desperately the world, including you, including me, how desperately we long for this gift. We long for the gift of peace in our hearts. We long for the gift of peace in our homes. We long for the gift of peace in our world. We desperately want peace. And yet some of us find ourselves where Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was, after the untimely death of his wife in a burning accident in their home, after the life-changing, debilitating injury for his son in the Civil War, where he got his side almost blown off in that war. And he penned these words, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, we want it so badly. And yet some of you hearing me today would say, Pastor, there is no peace. There is no peace in my heart. There is no peace in my life. And yet Jesus comes to speak to you today. And He comes to speak to you with these simple words. Peace to you. Peace to you. And peace was a theme of his teaching. Look at John 14. It's real close, so it won't take you but a moment. Look at John 14. I want you to see this. I love this. In John chapter 14, long about verse 27. Here it is. Verse 27, John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, he's talking about peace. He's talking about a peace that the world doesn't have. And the world can't give. But the peace that is beyond understanding that the world also can't take away. Peace. Peace. Look at John 16:33. We're close. John 16:33. What does Jesus say in this marvelous verse? In verse 33. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have what? Say it again. In me you may have peace. That's right. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen to me. The best gifts at Christmas are the gifts Jesus gives. And Jesus gives the gift of peace. Hear me. Jesus gives the gift of peace. First, peace with God. Peace with God. Secondly, peace in our own consciences. Third, peace with one another. Fourth, peace in all seasons, in the good times and the bad times. Now, what's the primary enemy of peace? We read it in the text. I told you to remember it. The primary enemy of peace is fear. It's fear. And it's a tool of the devil. Fear of the past and its consequences robs us of our peace. Fear of the present and its conditions robs us of our peace. And this one, listen to me, Christian brothers and sisters. Fear of the future and its circumstances robs us of our peace. But Jesus perfectly loves you, and Jesus perfectly loves me, and He is the remedy for our fear. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John chapter 4, read verses 17 through 19 when you have a moment. Listen, Jesus comes today to this congregation. Jesus comes today to you, and He wants to whisper peace to your heart and peace to your life. And I challenge you. I challenge you, receive it by faith. Receive it. The peace that Jesus Christ gives. Oh, listen, not everyone will live peaceably with you. So Paul would say, in as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men, with all people. But I want to tell you, there is a gift of peace. And I and most of you know exactly what that is like. And I challenge you, receive it. Listen, this is the greatest Christmas gift, the gift of peace. Do not let Satan rob you of your inheritance. And a portion of that is peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit, oh, with that peace that passes understanding. So the first gift, precious gift, life-changing, world-changing gift. Jesus gives the gift of peace. The best Christmas gifts are the gifts Jesus gives. Now, that leads us immediately and directly to the second one. And I want you to see the connection so very quickly so you'll know where we're going. Back to the text. We're in John chapter 20. We started reading with verse 19, but now go to verse 21. What follows peace? Now watch this. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Peace to you. All right, that's first. But then He said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. You see, here's the deal, friend. when Jesus gives me this incredible peace, my sins are forgiven, I've been given eternal life, my name's been written down in heaven, and He gives me that peace, He also gives me something else. Jesus gives the gift of purpose. Oh, I feel so sorry for those people. They wake up on Monday morning. I don't have any reason to be alive. Just got to get up, do Monday again. I'm sick of Mondays. Go through Monday, go to bed that night. No peace, no peace. Get up on Tuesday, I'm sick of Tuesday also. They don't even say, thank God it's Friday when Friday comes. No purpose. The world desperately needs purpose. And I want you to understand the connection between peace and purpose. You see, our purpose as followers of Jesus Christ, our purpose is to emulate His purpose. He came to seek and to save the lost. That's my purpose. He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's my purpose. He came as a peace giver and a peacemaker, and that is my purpose. Jesus gives the gift of purpose. Listen, Colossians 1 says this about Jesus. It pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. See the connection? First peace, then purpose. Jesus gives the gift of purpose. Listen to me. I wake up every day of my life and I am a peace ambassador. My task in life is to say to you and to anybody who will listen, you can have peace with God. You can be right with God. Your sins can be forgiven. You can know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. You can have these gifts. There's a purpose in my life, and it's to spread the message of peace to a world at war. And I'm not just talking about political. I'm talking about emotional war, and I'm talking about spiritual war, and I'm talking about relational war. And we get to preach peace. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Verse 14, or 5, verse 14. The love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Listen, and He died for all, that those who live. Pause. How many of you are alive? I'm still looking for all the hands to go up. Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure you're with me here. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. And then He says in verse number 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, Christians, to us, disciples, to us, members of Ridgecrest, to us, members of other Christian faith church gatherings. Listen, He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Well, man, that's a purpose to live and to die for. That's our purpose. You need purpose, and the purpose is to preach the peace that Jesus Christ gives. That is the purpose of every child of God. I thought about my life, and my life has been shaped by purpose. When I was a little boy, my purpose was to read every book on the planet, and I've not gotten there yet. But they marked on my first grade card the titles of 52 books I read during that school year. And the second year, they quit listing them because I went over 150 the second year. My brothers and sisters will tell you that I read at all times, and if there was nothing else to read, I would read the cereal box at breakfast. because that was my purpose, was to learn, and I was just born to read, I guess, and so that was my childhood years. Once I became a freshman in high school, my purpose was to finish high school, go to college, be a high school math teacher, and that focused me for those years, and then I had that purpose of being a good math teacher in 7 years, and I tried to do exactly that, and it focused my life. And then God didn't call me into ministry. He nagged me into ministry. God nagged me into ministry. Happy guy, doing what I wanted to do, but it wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away. And so along about the time that I was 27 years old, my purpose began to shift. By the time I was 28, it was to take my wife and 3 little children, a one-year-old baby boy, and go to seminary in North Kansas City. And that was Sodom and Gomorrah to me. You know, I mean, I was raised on Bull Creek, and I didn't want to go there. But God led there, and we went to seminary. And I had a purpose, and my purpose was to finish my master's degree in the least time possible. And I don't know if I've ever told this, because I don't want it ever to sound as if I boast. But I'll tell you what God allowed me to do, that in 2 years, 24 months, in 24 months, did over 90 graduate hours and graduated from seminary. Purpose, focusing my life. Came to Mount Sinai Baptist Church, wonderful church at Boaz between Nixon and Clever. And the purpose there to put my life into that church. And it was good time and sweet time with our family and some of the best people in the world. And Ron and Sue Willoughby are here with us today and are with us, and others as well. But love that people in that church. And then God stirred, and we came to a mission meeting in a house. And my purpose was to come with my family and just let God do whatever God wanted to do. And God has done miracles in my life and our life for over 29 years. And if He lets me live, I'm still looking forward to the third life. And in that third life, I have purpose. Listen to me. I will not live one day of my life without purpose. Not going to do it. That is a sick life. That is a sick life where there's no purpose. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. That's your purpose day after day in your own world, in your own arena, the gift of purpose. And so you have the gift of peace. You see, the best Christmas gifts are the gifts Jesus gives. You have the gift of peace. And secondly, you have the gift of purpose. Both of those are precious, but without the last one, they're going to be a problem. There's going to be a problem. Because my peace has to be guarded. My peace has to be maintained. And the purpose, it requires something that I don't have. It requires something I don't have. So I go back to the text, and we find the third gift. And it's right there in verse number 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And I remember what Luke recorded. What Luke recorded, I think it's the 24th chapter. Jesus said, remember, he's already resurrected. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you are endued with, help me church. All right, you ought to know it better than that. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus said, listen guys, I know that you know I've been raised from the dead. I know that you now have peace that you didn't have before. And I've given you a purpose that is a life-changing purpose for you and for others. But listen to me, don't you try to do this in your own strength. You'll never be able to. You must depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you know the third gift. The third gift is simply this. Jesus gives the gift of power. Now, please understand, this is not impersonal power. No, this is precisely personal, because Jesus Christ gives the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you, orphans. I'll come to you. How did he do that? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, folks. The teaching of the truth that there is one God eternally manifested in three persons, what we call the Trinity, that truth is not a side issue for Christianity. It is at the center of Christianity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, personal. But with the Holy Spirit there is power. And listen to this, it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's in me and that's in you. And if I'm going to maintain my peace, it'll be because the Holy Spirit guards that peace in my life. If I am going to fulfill my purpose, it'll be only by the power that can be given to me by the Holy Spirit. And this gift of the Holy Spirit is almost indescribable. He comes to regenerate us. He comes to indwell us. He comes to place us into the body of Christ. He comes to seal us for eternity. He comes to gift us for service. And He comes to empower us to accomplish His purpose. Listen, it is not trite when I say this. The Holy Spirit is truly and literally the gift that keeps on giving. He is always present. And He is always powerful. And He is always ready to help us fulfill our purpose. Without the Holy Spirit, no peace. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot accomplish our purpose. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no power. But Jesus gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives the gift of power. And the best Christmas gifts are the gifts Jesus gives. How do we respond? Shall we ignore these gifts? God forbid. Shall we ignore these gifts? God forbid. Shall we deny them? God forbid. Shall we neglect them? God forbid. No, here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive His peace. We're going to embrace His purpose. And we're going to depend totally on His power. I'm going to say that again, because this is what I'm asking of you. At the end of 1 year, the beginning of a new year, to say to you, Jesus will give you for every day of the rest of your life peace. Jesus will give you every day the rest of your life purpose. Jesus will give you every day the rest of your life power. And I ask you, receive His peace, embrace His purpose, depend totally on His power. Why? Because the best gifts are the gifts Jesus gives. God forbid that I should live a life that is superficial. God forbid that I should live a life that is anchored to the temporal. God forbid that I should live a ho-hum life in a desperate world. No, no. May I live and may people see through me the peace that comes from Jesus, not from me. May we live so that they will see that we are purpose motivated and purpose governed people. Oh, without a vision we perish. May we live depending moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, on the power of the Holy Spirit. I am convinced the devil wants me to try to do this on my own, and failure follows failure follows failure. No, I must surrender. I must call on Him to fill me with His Spirit. I must live out of that sense of dependence. But oh, when I do, the life of Jesus Christ is manifested through me. And then I would say with Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, my plea today is that there might be those here that would give their life to Jesus and say, man, this is what I've been looking for and wanting, peace and purpose and power. And then for every Christian that's been robbed by the devil, he's robbed so many of their joy, robbed so many of their thanksgiving, and now He would rob them of their Christmas gifts. Help them, Lord. Help each one of us to not allow that to happen. Help us, Father, by faith to receive. Help us, Father, by faith to experience and embrace that purpose, and by faith to live the life of holy Spirit power. I pray it all in Jesus' name.